So while this presentation is loading up, Higgs is going to present on the cutting edge technology for public health workforce training and comparative effective research.
Thank you, Dr. Jefferson. My name is Abraham Salinas, and I represent the University of South Florida Department of Epidemiology. I'm a pediatrician by profession, so I'm not a health informaticist, and I'm doing a PhD in public health. That's what my position is right now at the College of Public Health, a graduate research assistant. I represent this team, Hamisu Salihu, which is our supervisor, Dr. Alfred Mbah, who is our biostatistician, Jason Salemi and Michelle Nass are also epidemiologists. What I'm going to present here today is actually an utilization of technology that is available and is often underutilized. And the scope of my project is public health training in the area of comparative effectiveness research. So basically, it's training public health professionals on the methods and principles of comparative effectiveness research. So let me start by defining or restating comparative effectiveness research. We understand as CER as the conduct and synthesis of systematic research to quantify the benefits and harms of different intervention and strategies to prevent, diagnose, treat, and monitor health conditions. And it's being seen as one of the most promising strategies to reduce healthcare costs by improving informed decision making. And that's actually why it's so important to train people on comparative effectiveness research, precisely the critical mass of public health researchers around the nation. We know that the rising healthcare costs is driven by the technology and the prescription drugs, the rising chronic disease, the burden of chronic disease, the aging of the population, as well as the administrative cost. And we need to have a frame for efficient decision making. And this is comparative effectiveness research. Basically, it's comparing interventions in the real world under real world conditions for which particular kinds of people. Now, the strategic framework nationally is based on these four pillars. The first is conducting CER, and second is human development, capable professionals that are able to conduct comparative effectiveness research. Now, third is data infrastructure, and you also need professionals to develop the infrastructure, and then translation and adoption of comparative effectiveness research. Now, given that the development of a capable, critical mass of public health professionals training comparative effectiveness research, it is important to identify effective models of training. Now, we know that public health professionals, as many of you are busy and they have problems with the schedules, and you cannot dedicate two or three semesters for different university classroom-based training. So we saw as an opportunity to meet this need to achieve CER objectives, to integrate health informatics technology, specifically educational informatics. And well, these are tools that are available at every university in the United States, but are often underutilized to reach public health workforce. So this is the focus on public health workforce. And what kind of tools I'm talking about? I'm talking about rapid authoring tools to prepare online sessions, learning management systems such as Blackboard module or any other system. Web-based learning basically is using the internet to provide distant learning, multimedia, information systems, online data collection software, online forums, and virtual communities of practice. So what I'm going to present here today is a case study. So basically it's an application of this. It's a very small sample size, and what we did is actually we gather a group of experts in public health that represent the different fields, and based on their input, we created a curriculum, implemented, and evaluated. And we used several health informatics tools for that. So basically, the context of our project is a comparative effectiveness research collaborative at the University of South Florida, comprised of 18 members, which were clinicians, obstetricians, pediatricians, in my case. There were epidemiologists as well, biostatisticians, and social scientists. Some of them have a background in nutrition and social marketing. And they needed to establish a baseline to operate in a large federal grant on comparative effectiveness research. Sometimes you have people with different expertise. For instance, the biostatistician is an expert in statistical methods, while the epidemiologist, their expertise is in health impact, the impact of health interventions, for instance. So we needed to share the same baseline. And it's in this context that we decided to create ECER, which is basically comparative effectiveness research training online. Now, our approach, besides the integration of technology, is using a participatory methods approach. Basically, we think that if you involve the participants of the training during all the stages of the training, meaning needs assessment, content development, and program evaluation, you're more likely to be effective. Thank you. And you have to also prioritize essential resources, meaning things that they have to read, and provide additional resources as well, and practice-based learning. So we decided to take a priority with their own projects. So based on their projects or what they're doing, then the class was tailored to their needs. So basically, I'm just repeating the steps. First, we did a needs assessment. Then we developed the content and piloted and evaluated. Now, let me tell you the steps, the different elements in each steps. First, in the needs assessment, we identify CER competencies and published literature. Then we use an online survey, which is available there, and you can use it via emails and reach your participants in informal discussions as well. Now, we develop, based on these needs, different teams. And we invited the participants, based on their expertise, to develop PowerPoint slides. And then we use authoring tools. In this case, we use Articulate. That's a rapid e-learning method in which PowerPoint lectures are transformed to flash-based presentations. So basically, it's what I'm doing here. And then Articulate will transform it into a flash-based presentation that can be interacted. You can add engaging interactions, games, and other things to engage your audience and track their time. And also, you can do quizzes and other data collection there. So that was a way to develop a quick training. We conducted this between January and June 2011, 15 weekly models. And since these people, they were internet savvy, we can say, but they also like the social interaction. They like to discuss with other people, and the social learning part, the social learning aspect is very important. So we adopted a blended learning approach. So we provided the lectures online, and they have the whole week to revise it. And then during the staff meetings, we devised 30 minutes to 60 minutes to discuss on the online lectures based on the projects. For instance, if at this moment they were writing proposals for our research projects, then the topic would be the CER steps and how they can implement that in the proposal, or if it was sensitivity analysis and so forth. And so it was asynchronous and asynchronous, and these are the components. So it's face-to-face and online. During the face-to-face, we basically did demonstrations and hands-on. And now the program evaluation, here I'm going to talk a little bit to explain what we did. The logic model basically is to describe the program, what kind of resources you need, activities, and the outcomes that you expect. We did that with the participant as well. Remember that I mentioned that it was participatory. So after we piloted, we invited the participants to express how they saw the program, what were the resources invested, and if there were enough, and the activities that were necessary to achieve the outcomes they wanted to get out of the training. Now, after that, we conducted a Delphi study, and since it was a small sample size, I heard some limitations on sample size, and sample size is always an issue, then we decided to use Bootstrap. Now, let me just ask, is anyone familiar with the Delphi study or the Bootstrap? Awesome, great. So I won't stop there. So Delphi method is a widely used methodology to set priorities, and it utilizes experts, and it got a group consensus but avoids conflict. And it gives everyone anonymity, and they provide feedback, and it's an iteration of questions as well. It's a really powerful technique. So the aim is to achieve group consensus on different items. And the Bootstrap, anyone familiar here with the Bootstrap methods? Great, so basically Bootstrap is a resampling technique. Let's say we do this study 100 times, And basically what we take is this population, and the computer would simulate that 100 times, but it would randomly resample each individual. So it's more powerful than only doing one, and you can use it in your own projects. My purpose here is to show you what we did, and this sample was small, but you may have bigger samples as well. Now, this is the logic model. I already mentioned what it is. These were the questions that participants responded. What were the inputs, activities, and results? And these are the Delphi. The first step in the Delphi is to ask open-ended questions. So basically what we asked them after the program was implemented, which elements did they like most? What were some weaknesses and ways to improve the program? Open-ended, like you would do focus groups or interviews. And then in the second round, we take those items and make a list and organize them in categories, and people rate it. Let's say these were most useful to less useful, strongly agree or disagree, and they rate it. So that's a quantitative aspect. And then their responses are shared in a third round, and the group have the capability to change their responses based on group aggregated data. So they agree and we can reach consensus. And the consensus, since it's a Likert type scale, from 5 strongly disagree to strongly agree, so we can use the median, actually, because it's a small sample, it's recommended the median, and that indicates agreement. Now, in the round one, basically what we did, we also integrated health informatics. In this case, we use audience response system. Anyone familiar with audience response systems? American Idol? Basically, people with their cell phones, like you're here, you may be my Delphi cohort, and I will ask you questions, and you will text your statement to the PowerPoint slides, and everyone will see the responses, but no one will know who you are, so which is very good when you have people with different expertise and power, faculty versus graduate students, etc. So after this, we extracted these responses to qualitative data analysis software and did a thematic analysis, and then created a questionnaire and they rated the questionnaire. And the goal of this third round is actually to achieve consensus. You can do 4 rounds and sometimes 5, but once you see there is no change between one round and the other, then you stop. Now, there were some areas in which people disagree. There was no possibility to achieve consensus, so we included another tool that it's available there, but underutilized, blogging. Like this is Google Blogger. And blogging is free, and you can actually provide that, and people actually enjoyed it. It's some social media tool. Now, the Bootstrap, I already explained what it is, and the main purpose is to calculate confidence interval. Now, you wouldn't calculate confidence interval with 7 people, but if you do Bootstrap and you create 2,000 samples, you could do that. And basically, Bootstrap takes the information from the population, the distribution that you're using, and create 2,000 samples of that. So it's basically a Monte Carlo approximation of the original data. So it's very powerful, at least better than just, you know, remaining with your 7 samples isolated, right? I mean, your several individuals isolated. So we did this just to assess if there was some change in the responses. Now, these are the qualitative. When we did the needs assessments, some perceived strengths of the group, they felt that they were strong in design and conduct epidemiological research. Obviously, they were epidemiologists, assessing impact of public care interventions, and using extant data sources. And these were the weaknesses. As you could see, they felt weak in economic evaluation, so we focused on that part, policy making, and advanced statistical methods, such as decision tree modeling. So we focused on demonstrations of that, using triage, for instance. Now, we did a pre-post test. This is a pilot project, so we have to develop some tools. Only 7 people, so really, we cannot generalize, but in this group, at least, there was an increase in knowledge. Now, this is the logic model. Why I'm presenting it here? It is important to publish it so other people, if they try to replicate this or get ideas, this is a way to provide the context of your project. So logic model is very important, and this is what they created in a brainstorming session. These are the Delphi results. How many minutes do I have? 1? Okay. This is what they like, the didactic sessions, the tutorials, health informatics. These are ways to improve partnership with economics. Obviously, they felt weak on that. And more exercises and audio. Now, these are the main results. And as you could see here, these are items that relates to content, real world application, resources, social interaction, and technology integration. Let me just stop by here. The median here is calculated in a small sample and indicates there is a strong agreement, actually, that these people see these elements here as useful. So if you want to create trainings on competitive effectiveness research, these studies suggest that these are valued elements. People like this and they felt it useful. Now, three or more indicates agreement based on the Delphi. Now, when you do the bootstrap, you don't need the median because you already have a 2,000 sample. So we use the mean. As you could see, there are some responses that were not so stable, like this one. It's 3.65. It still indicates agreement, but the confidence interval is from 2 to 4. So that indicates that that response is not that stable, what the others are. Now, these are the same results, resources, food, people like textbooks, supplemental articles, diversity of expertise, so when you do trainings like this, people enjoy that, and analytics software. And finally, they rated utility criteria, and their results are the same. Now, the only part is that the activities were not implemented to plan, and that's all that I have. Thank you very much. We think that the health informatics technology tools could be very useful for competitive effectiveness research training, but no one is talking about doing large projects of competitive effectiveness research training, and we provided this for just to share. Thank you. Any questions? Very good question. Actually, it was a pre-post test, 20 questions, quiz, multiple choice. And basically what we did is the overall responses from the first pre-test before the training and after the training. So before it was 31%, that means they failed 70% of the questions, and then afterwards was 80% the same test, pre-post test. We also did short quizzes, but we didn't assess those for this presentation. But this is a small project. What is showing us, it is worthy to apply for a grant and do it at a large scale, which we did. We applied for a grant and we're waiting for money. Thank you very much.
Great presentation. Okay, so that was our last speaker for the session. Just an announcement on money. For those looking for additional funding, of course, if you've done this before, you know NIH has several funding opportunities for social networking. There's an R21 and an SBIR, STTR, that's available right now. The STTR has three deadlines. Typically, it's December 5th, April 5th, and August 5th of every year, continuous every year until they stop that funding. And R03's small grants, $50,000. R21's, $250,000 at the NIH. R43, R44's, $100,000 first phase, 6 months, up to $1 million for a phase two for an STTR. So it's almost better than an R01. For exploratory research, okay? But that's the funding side for those looking for additional money. That's always good for research. Thank you again for participating in this session, Health Informatics and Information Technology, Technology Center. Enjoy the rest of the conference. If you're not a HIT member, join HIT. HIT impacts every section of public health these days, and it's just gonna get more ubiquitous as technology improves. So thank you again for participating, for attending this session, and look forward to some more of your papers and your abstracts for next year's conference. So take care and have a great time.